Well, good evening, everybody. Tonight we're going to talk about presence. That's why we have the title, God's Great Gift. We're going to talk about the giving and receiving of presence. Now, I suspect if you're anything like me, you enjoy receiving presents, and you'd probably say that you enjoy giving them as well, but I suspect you enjoy receiving them more than giving them. And for me, birthdays still, at my age, birthdays and Christmases are exciting times because of the presents. And tonight we're going to talk about the biggest, the best present that you can ever have, can ever be given. We are going to talk about the present that God has offered to us. And as I said, it will be the biggest and the best present that we will ever have. And we read about it in our opening chapter. Roger very slightly threw me with using the ESV, but that's all right, we can work with that. I hope I didn't worry you, Roger, as I went down to get one. Can anybody tell me, from if you recall our opening chapter, Psalm 72, what the present is? This isn't meant to be a monologue this evening. You can shout out. You won't embarrass me. Yeah, that's a good... absolutely. But that's not actually what I'm going to talk about, although it is in there. It is in there. Anybody else? Any other ideas? Well, I'll give you a clue. It's in the phrase Psalm 72... and it's verse 16. In the ESV it says, may there be abundance of corn in the land, on the tops of mountains. May it wave, may its fruits be like Lebanon. And that is talking about a present. That's talking about a present that God is going to give us. And to demonstrate the present, I believe I have three volunteers. I'm not sure willing is the right, and you have to come up by yourself because it's one at a time. So whoever wants to come first, you can get it over with. Oh, thank you, James. That's great. Good lad. Need to demonstrate what God's present is. And first, we need a mountaintop. If you don't mind, what I'm going to do is just do this. James, can I stand you on top of the mountain? It's all right. We've checked the health and safety, and you're okay on this, right? Good lad, you're okay. Fantastic. Now, on what God says, if you can open your arms, your hands, please, James. I always struggle here. Now, hold your hands out. Now, the present is, it is a handful of grain, and we're on the top of the mountain, and we're looking out over the valleys. And can you see the valleys over there, James? And the lakes, and it's a good view, isn't it?
Very nice.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of the present? I've just told you that it's the biggest and the best present that you're ever going to get.
Can't imagine it being tasty.
No, I mean, how does that, shall we say, James, how does that present compare to last Christmas or your last... for your last birthday? So maybe one or two of your more memorable birthdays or Christmases. How does that compare? Can't be honest.
I like my PlayStation.
Oh, you like your PlayStation. Maybe it doesn't quite come up to PlayStation standards. No, okay then. All right. Well, you can put it back now. Thank you very much. And you can sit down. That's what you need. Thank you. We would all been surprised, wouldn't we, in that demonstration? That if James had said that was the best present he'd ever been given, we'd have been surprised at that, wouldn't we? And to be honest, it's a bit of a setup, and you know it is. But I want to make the point, you see, because I've only given James one half of the present. I haven't revealed the full present to James. And to make my point, I need to give another present out. And I'd like my next volunteer for that. So that's Jack or Matthew. Marvellous. Right, you don't have to stand up though now, Jack. Yeah, all right. No, no, come to the front. You have to come to the front, but you don't have to stand on the chair. But I do have a bag here, and I do have a present for you. All right, well, you can open it. That's the idea of presents. And you just get it out of the box, and I'm fairly sure you're an intelligent lad and you'll know what to do with it. Don't be shy. Pretend it's Christmas morning. Go on, keep going. You can... Why are you all so suspicious? Are no buckets of water close by, they're safe. We haven't got all evening, you know. My letter says less than 35 minutes. I think you're probably okay that end.
He's not used to that.
Now, I think, actually, though, what you really need is those. I bet he got all his presents open Christmas by this time, hadn't he? So polite. Well, I tell you what, Jack, we're going to be here all evening. Why don't you take that to the back of the hall, and you can have a play with it afterwards. But you very kindly made my point. So you can leave the mess there. We'll sort that out later. You can take the car. Right. You see, for the present to work, for the present to be a good present, and I know we've had a bit of fun, but I'm trying to make a serious point here, is that you need two parts to go together. For that particular present to work, you don't just need the remote control car, you need the batteries as well. And if you have the car just by itself, then the present's no good at all, is it? You need the batteries and the car, and you need to put them together. And neither is a particularly good present in itself, but when they put them together, you get a decent present. And that's why God's present may seem strange. You see, just like the car, God's present comes in multiple parts. You see, God's presence has to be put together. And when we start putting it together, we understand why I say it's the biggest and the best present that you will ever have. We need to put the pieces together. And when we do that, when we put the pieces together, it's a massive present. It's the best present you could ever have. And we're going to look at it now in our opening reading. Psalm 72. I've got grain in my glass. Psalm 72. Verse 1, give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. And so we have a king, and the psalm starts off with a king. And if you've got a king, then you're going to have a kingdom and a land over which that king will rule. I said afterwards, Jack. And in verse 2 to 16, and we're going to come back to them, we have all about the kingdom. We have what's going... You have to switch it off. It doesn't stay stationary. Right? So verses 2 to 16 tell us what was going to be in that kingdom. And like I said, we'll come back to that shortly. But we want to find out more about the king and the kingdom. In verse 17, it says, may his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. So the kingdom is going to last forever. So that's a feature of this kingdom, of this present that we're talking about. There will be no end to this present, to this kingdom. All nations, every man, woman and child in the whole world will have opportunity to be part of the kingdom. And then verse 18, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. So it's going to be God's kingdom. God will rule the kingdom. God will be the king. And then in verse 19, as we start putting it all together, blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And the whole world will be filled with God's glory. So God will rule over the whole world. So his kingdom is going to fill the whole world. Every country, every river, every sea, every part of the planet will be ruled by God. And so when you start putting those bits together, what you get, if we summarise so far, when you start putting those bits together, you get a kingdom. So we're going to have a kingdom, and in that kingdom there will be every man, woman and child has opportunity to be part of that kingdom. And the kingdom will include the whole world. It will be a world kingdom. The kingdom will be ruled by God. Man will have nothing to do with the ruling of that kingdom. It will be ruled on God's principles and by God's word. And that kingdom will last forever. It won't be like the governments of today that run for 4 or 5 years. It will be an everlasting kingdom. You see, the present that God has promised us is the world. God has quite literally promised us the world. Now I need my final volunteer, Matthew. God's promised us the world, right? So if God gives you the world, what do you need to go with it, would you say? Think of it a bit like the car and the batteries. Sorry? A leader, yes, we've talked about a leader. If you've got the world, what do you need it? And there's a hint in what we did earlier with the grain. Putting it together? No idea. Well, you're the first person who hasn't managed it. Sorry, that was really cruel. I do apologise for that. But, if we're going to have the world, if we're going to have a planet, maybe we need water. We're going to need people. We're going to need food. And I think a really important aspect of the kingdom is peace. Those are just some of the ideas. Oh, you can sit down now, Matthew. Thank you very much. You can take the world with you. That's fine. I did say God had promised you the world, and I meant it. And you see, the wonderful thing about God's promise, about God's present, is that he's included everything that we need with it. God has promised us all the things that we mentioned just then as well. And that's why, at the beginning, we had the handful of grain upon the mountaintop. You see, grain is used, and I should know about this because my company makes machinery to do this, but grain is used to make food, and it is used to make bread. And certainly in Bible times, bread was a symbol of being fed because it was one of the staple foods. So when God says, I'm going to give you the world, and he says, I'm going to give you the world, but we know one of the problems with the world today is that people go hungry, that people starve. And God says that when I give you the world, I'm going to fill it with food. There will be handfuls of grain. There will be abundant grain, as it says in the ESV, upon the tops of the mountains. He says, see those mountains up there that me and James were looking at earlier. He says, see those mountains covered with snow. He says, well, one day they're going to have grain on them. And it's been growing when I give you the world. That you will never be without food, he says. But it's much more than food as well. See, when God gives us the world, he's going to put lots of other things in it as well. There's lots of other things to go with it. And God is going to give us. And it's like the car with the batteries. God isn't going to include everything we need. And what we're going to do now is Roger's just going to read a few verses at a time as I call them off. And then we're just going to talk about them. So in Psalm 72, Roger, could you read verse 2? You might just want to keep stood up, because otherwise you'll be like a yo-yo.
All right.
Thank you.
May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice.
So we start off, it's saying, we said we'd look at these verses. So in the kingdom, things will be fair. Things will be just. And I don't think you can really describe the world we live in at the moment as fair and just. But God says, when I give you the world, it'll be fair and just. And the poor are going to be looked after, and they're not at the moment, are they? There's many places in the world where the poor starve. But God says, when I give you the world, that won't be the case. Verse 3, Roger, please.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness.
Okay, then. So there's going to be a peace. I think this is where the translations come very slightly different. But there is going to be peace, and there is going to be prosperity when God gives us the world. And then verses 4 and 5.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
Thank you. So the children will be saved, will deliver the poor. Deliverance for the children and the needy. They will crush the oppressor. So those who bully, those who oppress, those who persecute their fellow mankind will be no more when God gives us the world. I'm just reading a book at the moment about Mugabe and what he does or has done, still does, to his countrymen is just incredible. But God says, when I give you the world, there will be none of that. There will be no violence. It will all be gone. Because when I give you the world, everything will be perfect and everything will be right. Verse 6, please, Roger.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
So there will be lots of rain, and we need rain. This particular year, I don't know if any of you really realise, but we've had a real lack of rain, certainly early on when the crops were growing. And you saw the crops, they were stunted this year. They didn't grow like they should have done because we lacked rain. And so God says, when I give you the world, I'm going to give you everything that you need. And that includes the rain. And 7, please, Roger.
In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more.
So again, righteousness and peace. When God gives us the world, there will be righteousness and peace. And 8 to 10.
May he have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts.
So God will rule the whole world. We've said that. But the thing about Scripture is it tends to make a point more than once. And God emphasises again and again, I'm going to rule the whole world. Verse 11.
May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him.
So he's going to be totally in charge. He will bring his will to pass. There'll be nobody else doing what they want anymore. He will suppress all the enemies. When God gives us the world, it will be ruled entirely by him. 12 and 13.
For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the needy and saves the lives of the needy.
So he's going to rescue the poor and the needy. It says he will save their lives. And this is all when God gives us the world as the biggest and the best present that we have ever had. And verses 14 and 15.
From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live, may gold of Sheba be given to him, may prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day.
From oppression and violence he redeems their life. So he's going to save those who turn to him from oppression and violence. He will redeem, that's all, he will save, he will give life when God rules the world. And then finally, verse 16.
May there be abundance of grain in the land, on the tops of the mountains may it wave, may its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field.
Thank you, Roger. So we've covered that already, haven't we? Verse 16. There will be loads of food. There will be grain upon the mountaintop. Nobody will go hungry. The world will be completely, completely different to the world we live in today. And we're very fortunate in the UK. We live very comfortably. But I've been to Africa, as I'm sure some of you have. And I've seen people that go hungry. I've seen the results of oppression in those countries. And God says, when I give you the world, that will be no more. And you see, so God has promised us the world, and he's promised to give it to me and to you. And he's included the batteries. He's included everything that we need. He hasn't missed anything out. It will be a perfect world, not like the world today. Everything that is wrong with the world, God will sort out. And there, as we've said, and you can look at the box, and we've used the phrase already, there is a phrase on the box, that, you know, most electronics items, it says, batteries not included. So you buy the item, don't you, and then you have to go and spend more money to buy the batteries, and that's what we had to do yesterday. And it is essentially a con to get more money out of us. But God's not like that. When he gives us the world, the batteries will be included. When God does not leave out, will not leave out any vital component, he provides, he will provide everything that we need. Absolutely nothing will be missing when God gives us the world. Now, I put to you, that's a great present. I put to you that is one of the biggest and the best presents that we could ever have. A perfect world. A world with every problem solved. And that's what God has promised you and me. So, in conclusion, I hope and pray that one day you and I can share God's present, and that we can share the biggest and the best present we have ever had.